Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Chapter entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena, text number 27. Ata bhaje tva kila purushottamam gunalayam padma karevalalasa. Abhyavayo eka pati spridda kalir. Shakrita Twach Charanai Katanaya Ata Bhaje Twakila Purushottamam Gunalayam Padma Karevalalasa. Abhyavayo eka pati sprido kalir. Nasyat krita twach charanai gatanayo. Ata bhaje twakila purushottamam. Gunalayam padma karevalalasa. Abhyavayo eka pati sprido kalir. Nashat krita twach charanai gatanayo. Ata, therefore, abhaje, I shall engage in devotional service. Twa, unto you, akila, all inclusive, purusha uttamam, the supreme personality of Godhead, guna alayam, reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Padmakara, the goddess of fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Eva, like. Lalasa, being desirous. Api, indeed. Avayo, of Lakshmi and me. Ekapati, one master. Sprido, competing. Kali, quarrel. Na, not. Syat, may take place. Krita, having done. Twacharana, unto your lotus feet. Ekatanayo, one attention. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Now I wish to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to serve, just like the Goddess of Fortune, who carries a lotus flower in her hand, because His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all transcendental qualities. I am afraid that the Goddess of Fortune and I would quarrel, because both of us would be attentively engaging in the same service. Purple. The Lord is here addressed as Akila Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the entire creation. Purush means the enjoyer, and Uttama means the best. There are different kinds of Purushas or enjoyers within the universe. Generally, they can be divided into three classes: those who are conditioned, those who are liberated, and those who are eternal. In the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal of all Eternals, Nicho Nichanam. Both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities are eternal. The Supreme Eternals are the Vishnu Tattva, or Lord Vishnu and his expansions. So Nicho refers to the Personality of Godhead, beginning with Krishna to Mahavishnu, Narayan, and the other expansions of Lord Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Brahmadi Murtishu, there are millions and millions of expansions of Lord Vishnu as Rama, Nisrima, Varaha, and other incarnations. All of them are called eternals. The word Mukta refers to the living entities who never come within this material world. The Badas are those living entities who are almost eternally living within this material world. The Badas are struggling very hard within this material world to become free from the threefold miseries of material nature and to enjoy life. Whereas the Muktas are already liberated. They never come into the material world. Lord Vishnu is the master of this material world, and there is no question of his being controlled by material nature. Consequently, Lord Vishnu is addressed here as Purushottama, the best of all living entities, namely Vishnu Tattvas and Jiva Tattvas. It is a great offense, therefore, to compare Lord Vishnu to the Jiva Tattva, or consider them on an equal level. The Mayavadi philosophers equalize the Jivas and the Supreme Lord and consider them to be one. But that is the greatest offense at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Here in the material world, we have practical experience that a superior person is worshipped by an inferior one. Similarly, Purushottama, the greatest Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, is always worshipped by others. Prithu Maharaj, therefore, decided to engage in the service of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Prithu Maharaj is considered to be an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, but he is called Shakyavesi incarnation. Another significant word in this verse is Guna Layam, which refers to Vishnu as the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. The Mayavadi philosophers take the absolute truth to be Nirguna, without qualities, in accordance with the impersonalistic view. But actually, the Lord is the reservoir of all good qualities. One of the most important qualities of the Lord is his inclination to his devotees, for which he is called Bhakta Vatsala. The devotees are always very much inclined to render service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord is also very much inclined to accept loving service from his devotees. In that exchange of service, there are many transcendental transactions, which are called transcendental qualitative activities. Some of the transcendental qualities of the Lord are that he is omniscient, omnipresent, all-pervasive, all-powerful, and the cause of all causes. The absolute truth, the reservoir of all pleasures, the reservoir of all knowledge, the all-auspicious, and so on. Prithu Maharaj desired to serve the Lord with the goddess of fortune, but this desire does not mean that he was situated on the platform of Madhurya Ras. The goddess of fortune is engaged in the service of the Lord, in the rasa of Madhurya conjugal love. Although her position is on the chest of the Lord, the goddess of fortune, in her position as a devotee, takes pleasure in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Prithu Maharaj was thinking only of the lotus feet of the Lord because he is on the platform of Dasharas, or servitorship of the Lord. From the next verse, we learn that Prithu Maharaj was thinking of the goddess of fortune as the universal mother, Jagan Mata. Consequently, there was no question of his competing with her on the platform of Madhurya Ras. Nonetheless, he feared that she might take offense at his engaging in the service of the Lord. This suggests that in the absolute world, there is sometimes competition between servitors in the service of the Lord. But such competition is without malice. In the Vaikuntha worlds, if a devotee excels in the service of the Lord, others do not become envious of his excellent service, but rather aspire to come to the platform of that service. Omagyan Timadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namonama Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the Vedic literatures, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can be divided into three categories, or three subject matters. And does anyone know the three subject matters of the Vedas? What was that?
Sambandha, Abhideya,
Prayojana. Yeah, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana Tattva. So Lord Chaitanya says, when we study the Vedas, when you study the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Vedas, or you study the Bhagavad Gita, or you study the Vedas themselves, the Puranas and the Upanishads, and there are three subject matters. They're called Tattva. Tattva means truth, essence. So the Tattva, there is Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. So the children need to calm down a little. So the three subject matters, the first one is called Sambandha, and that's what is being spoken of largely here. Sambandha means the relationship. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing this and explaining this in his teachings to Sanatana Goswami, then he calls it, or he terms it, Krishna Sambandha. In other words, Sambandha means relationship. Krishna is the fountainhead. You know, Prabhupada uses this term, Godhead. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, came to the Hare Krishna movement, and then someone gave me the magazine, Back to Godhead. And then that was, for me, that was... It's like everything when you first come. Everything, every single detail, like just, it's like it's a whole world exploding. It's a whole universe that you're entering into. It's a whole new world. So it is called Godhead. So I thought that was very peculiar. Why not just say God? My whole life we just said God. Suddenly it was Godhead. You know, now I'm worshipping Godhead. What is a Godhead? What does that mean? Godhead, supreme personality of Godhead. So Godhead, it's like fountain head. So from the fountain head comes the entire fountain. So Krishna Sambandha. Krishna means he is the Godhead. And from him, everything else comes. It means everything. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Chatur Shloki verses, in one of the main verses. The first of the main verses. Aham Savasya Prabhu Mataha Savam Prabhatate. So he says, from me everything emanates. Savam. The word Sava means everything. And Krishna is the only one who can say everything, definitively. It means when you say everything comes from me, just like sometimes people say things like that, just like sometimes people take drugs, LSD or marijuana or whatever it is people take. And then sometimes people think they have this revelation of so-called revelation of cosmic consciousness, and suddenly they have understood the whole universe, and people think they are God. Just like sometimes, you know, people, friends of mine used to take drugs and they used to sit on the shore of the ocean where the waves come in. And they, you know, in their mystical trance, they thought they were controlling the waves. You know, and the waves would come and think, I'm making that wave come. Come again. And then you're sitting there and then the moon starts to rise. And you think, I am making the moon rise. It's all. No one can say it. We can't do anything. Prabhupada says you can't even control when you're going to blink. Right, we'll have a 1 minute competition. No one blink for 1 minute. Okay, so now. Not possible. If you can do 1 minute, that's a great feat actually. Okay. Prabhupada says you can't control when you're going to pass stool. I am God. I'm making everything, but I have to go to the toilet now, but I'm making you. Oh, you are very powerful. Don't pass stool for 1 week. God. No, not possible. We can't do anything. What is our power? What is our power? You know, like I can tell you my watch, I can throw it over there if I want. But Krishna says, I give the ability. So if Krishna stops my arm working, what can I do? I can't do anything. We're limited. That's our position. We are limited. God is unlimited. So when it talks about Sambandhas, Krishna, so he is the Godhead, he is the fountainhead of everything. And he is unlimited. Just like I was at the farm the other day, I got back on Wednesday, and then I pulled in, and a car pulled in behind me, and one man got out, and he said, oh, I want to learn more about Hare Krishna. So I took him to our shop and I was showing him our different books, and then I think he brought up one of the books. And we were having that conversation about Krishna being the source of everything and that we are limited in our ability, in our perception. But the jiva thinks that the jiva is unlimited, but no, that is false. Only Krishna is the source of everything. That is Krishna Sambandha. Everything emanates from him. And if we understand that, we understand things correctly. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand things correctly. So this is called Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. How does everything relate? Right? How do we relate to the Godhead, to the Source? How do we relate? This is important to understand. What is our relationship with the Supreme, with God? Right? We are simply meant to serve. That is our relationship. Right? And then that leads to the second part of the Vedic subject matters. The first part is Sambandha. The second part is Abhideya. What does Abhideya mean? How do we define it?
Process.
Yeah, generally we say like a process. Abhideya means a process. Okay, so you want to get from Melbourne to Sydney. There's a process, right? There's multiple ways to do it. But the process is called transportation. You will transport yourself. How can you do it? You've got options, right? One is you can walk. That's how they used to do it. You know, even now we just say, oh, you can walk. Everyone's like, how do you think they used to get there? People walk for thousands of years. Now everyone's got heart problems. Seriously. I heard a medical report the other day. They said if people just walk, they won't have heart disease. Just walk, that's it. That's it, just walk. You know, now they say you have to walk 10,000 steps a day. Now you have to put your iPhone on your arm. You know, am I walking 10,000 steps a day? Oh, I can't go to bed yet. I have to walk up and down the hallway 5 times. But the part that I don't tell you is that iPhones have radiation. Interesting. The phones have radiation. Even when they're turned off, they're still radiating. That's why you should never sleep with them close to you. And it actually says when you buy them, and there's conditions, terms and conditions, it actually says in small print, you know, no one reads it, but it says in small print, do not keep them within 1 inch of your body. It says that. And so they have to say that, because otherwise you'll get cancer. I've had friends die. Two friends I know have died from cancer. One had a brain tumor there, the other one got cancer there. Like that. Two. This is early days when the phones started coming out. Now the technology's improved, but they still emit radiation a lot. And these days, like, the kids are just on them all the time. So imagine, you know, the danger. They emit radiation continuously. So they're not good for the health. So then you are, you know, putting it on your arm or in your hand, like, you know, like this, but they don't tell you all these things. Because otherwise you can sue them. You can say, well, you know, I died from cancer. They put it, no, but it says don't put it 1 inch within your body. They say that when they sell it to you. It's in the fine print. So anyway, you've got options. You want to get to Melbourne to Sydney, you could walk. Right? You could hop. You could hop from Melbourne to Sydney. You could skip. You could do cartwheels. Or you could ride your bike. Or you could take a car. Or you could take a train. Or you could take a plane. This transportation. So it's, what's that called? It's called process. It means you get from one point to the next point. That's the process. It's called abhideya. Abhideya means how to connect. So we are the soul. We're the jiva. God, the fountainhead, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the Lord. How do we connect to him? What's the connection? Right? So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bhakti abhideya. Bhakti is the process of how to get to Krishna. So our process is called bhakti yoga. So we know yoga means connection, union, means two points coming together. Bhakti, what is bhakti? Bhakti is a sentiment. The goal of life is prema. Because then we hear about the third part of the Vedas. Right? Sambandha, abhideya, and then Lord Chaitanya says, the third category of Vedic literature is called prayojana. And Lord Chaitanya says, prema prayojana. Prayojana means the goal. Goal means, where are we going to? What are we trying to get to? What are we trying to reach? What is that? Why did you join the Hare Krishna movement? Why did you join? Why did you join?
To get Krishna.
To what?
To get Krishna.
To get Krishna. That's not the goal. The goal is prema. That's the goal. We should be all very clear in this movement what our goal is. If you don't understand your goal, you'll never get to your goal. If you don't understand where Sydney is, you'll never get to Sydney. If you don't understand how to get to Sydney, you'll never get to Sydney. And if you don't understand how a car works, you're not going to get to Sydney. If you don't understand how to get to an airport and get on a plane and go through customs, you're never going to get to Sydney. You have to understand all the basics to get there. But you must be clear on the goal. And if you're not clear on the goal, then what's the point? Why are you here? Why did you join this Hare Krishna movement? People join for different reasons. Some people join because they get free watches. Right, give it now. Some people, they do. I'm serious. Some people do. In India, because India's, it's a poorer country compared to the affluence of the West. Some people, they will join the ashram, like they become a brahmachari in one of the temples in India, because the highest standard of living, they're living outside. Some people, they do that. Right? And people have told me, like, if they took away the facilities, some people would leave. So some people would join because they want material facility. We join for lots of reasons. We join because we get good food. You'll see at breakfast time, there's people who come every day just to eat. I see there's people who come here like 3 times a day just to eat. They don't come to the classes. They hardly do any service. And sometimes I say to them, can you please help? They say, oh, I carry the buckets upstairs. Oh, that's wonderful. That takes 5 minutes. Right? Well, the rest of us are working day and night. So you can come and just eat like that. It's not really, it's very much a take in consciousness. If you're going to come here, and anyone's welcome to come here, but you must reciprocate over the course of time. You have to give back. Now, this is not just, you know, a paradise where you just get free food unlimitedly. You can treat it like that, but that's not the point of the whole place. I tell people, sometimes you have to pull them up. Because they do, they just come. Yeah, it's nice they come, but, you know, if you're going to come for breakfast, lunch and dinner, then please, you know, contribute. Because you see, everyone's, you know, I'm tired. Like the last 2 months, we've just been non-stop, you know, like catering jobs. Just had a festival. This week, even got holy, like, you know, down at the farms, like huge amount of work. I'm tired. I'm happy to do it, but, you know, help out. Don't just come around and just eat and then just walk off. You know, it's not very, not very thoughtful to be like that. So there's an entire process. There's Sambandha, there's Abhideya, there's Prayojana. But we have to understand what the goal is. It has to be clear in our mind. And sometimes it's not clear enough in our mind. The goal is prema. Prema means developing love for Krishna. That's the goal. And it's an important point because Lord Chaitanya says prema prayojana. He says Krishna Sambandha. He doesn't say Krishna prayojana. The goal is not Krishna. The goal is love for Krishna. It is service to Krishna. Because even Lord Chaitanya says that. Right? Even if you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me brokenhearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord. So it's the service is the goal. Because by the service you will attain Krishna. By your love you will attain Krishna. So we have to cultivate that love. Like yesterday we were speaking to the devotees. We had a Nityananda Tridashi festival at Hare Krishna Valley. How many people came?
150.
Punch. No, yesterday. That was on the weekend. On the weekend we had 150. But yesterday there was 5 of us. You guys can't even imagine what that means. Here in the temple, it's like, you know, so many hundreds, 200, 500, 1,000, 8,000, like that. But 5 of us. So we had a simple program. We just did Aarti, Kirtan, and then we spoke on Lord Nityananda. And then we had nice little feast, not like many, many items, but, you know, small feast, but very nice. But when we're speaking, we're saying to the devotees, especially on days like yesterday, but every day we should be like this, especially days like, well, you have to go very deep in your heart. Rupa Goswami says you must observe these festivals. It's an offense not to observe the festivals. You must observe them. And it's an opportunity to go very deep in your heart, in your consciousness, and to connect to the person whose appearance day is we're observing. So yesterday was Lord Nityananda, who is one of the most important personalities in our tradition, in our lives. So to connect with him, develop love for him, and accept the gifts which he is giving, and then to reciprocate with him by dedicating one's life to him. And to try to meditate on that prema, developing that prema. Prema means love. We have to develop love for God, love of God, Krishna prema, Nityananda prema, Mahaprabhu prema. All these things, we have to cultivate that, those feelings of love. So this Lord Chaitanya says this is the goal. Understand it clearly and work towards it and try to attain it. Right? And if you work hard, you will attain it. If you want it enough, you will attain it. Did you get reciprocation from Lord Nityananda yesterday? Anyone feel reciprocation from Lord Nityananda? Yeah, we should feel reciprocation. We should feel, if you give everything, you will get back. We should feel his reciprocation. Like yesterday, I was trying to give as much as I could to Lord Nityananda, and I felt his reciprocation. But I could feel his gift, like he, in his hands, he was giving. Here, he's actually saying, here is Krishna. Here is Lord Chaitanya himself. But because of my impurities, I can't take what he is giving as yet. He will give me everything. He'll give me God himself. Give me pure service. You know, Swarup City, he'll give me my eternal spiritual form. But I'm not ready. I could fathom that that's what he's trying to give me. But, you know, how unfortunate am I that I do not take advantage of that. So at least try. You know, in the heart, Gopi Purana Prabhu, Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu, who finished the Bhagavatam with Vridananda Maharaj and Dravida Prabhu on behalf of Prabhupada. He's passed away now. He left his body and left his body in a very interesting way. He was traveling. He'd just been on the Polish tour with Indradumna Swami, traveling around Poland. He lived in Vrindavan. He actually lived next to Govardhan Hill for many years. That's where his Sanskrit college was. Lived at Govardhan Hill, the most holy place in the universe. So he was living there, you know, where the palace is. He lived just like a few hundred meters from the palace. Grihastha. Yes. The ashram we went to, the ISKCON ashram. Yeah. So just a few hundred meters from there, he's living at that place. So then, he'd been traveling for a few months on the Polish tour with Indradumna Swami. He came back, passed through for about 4 days, and then he was going to go to China to continue preaching and spreading Krishna. And those 4 days, he came to Govardhan, and in that four-day period, he had an asthma attack. He was asthmatic, and he couldn't get to his ventilator, and then he died. In that 4 days, he could have died in Poland or China, but he died in the most holy place, showing that someone is in control. Because he gave everything to Krishna. Such a pure, elevated person. So I was there one time at Govardhan. He was giving a class. And he was explaining this point. The soul has this eternal relationship with Krishna. And this relationship is just between you and Krishna. It's not between anyone else. And I actually asked him one time, I said, because, you know, you have to think very deeply about these things in spiritual life. If you want to progress, you really have to think very, very deeply. And I was listening to his class and he was giving a very nice explanation. I thought, this is how I honestly thought. I thought, does Krishna need me? Does God need me? Do you ever feel or think like that? Do I need to exist? Maybe one day you'll think like that. Maybe it'll come. Or maybe you'll never think like that. I don't know. But I thought like that, honestly. Like, I had that like a doubt in my heart. Do I even need to exist? And then he said, every one of us has something that we can give to Krishna that no one else can give. Therefore, every one of us is necessary in the creation of God. Even though we may not feel very significant, but there's something that Krishna can get only from us. That's why he created us. That's why we exist. You are important. You are a good person. And you have so much to give to Krishna. One of the biggest problems in the world these days is something I'm noticing. People have self-doubt. People don't have esteem. Esteem, yeah. Self-esteem. Big problem in the world. It's almost like an epidemic plague. You know, everyone is suffering from lack of self-esteem. And the real problem is that everyone's indulging in it. Yeah, we all have those feelings. That's okay. Oh, you know, I'm not as worthy as I should be. Or like that. And in bhakti, actually, it's considered to be desirable to feel like that. In our trip, come and become a Hare Krishna and feel bad about yourself. We can promote like that. You know, when you become a Hare Krishna, you should feel bad about yourself.
It was like, oh my God, I'm already feeling bad. You know, how am I going to, now my, oh, it's worse. No, but our feeling bad about ourselves is, it's a healthy criticism, or it's a constructive feeling. In other words, not that we feel, well, we feel bad about it, but it's more like we can see how we can improve. You know, and as a devotee, you have to have that kind of mentality. How can I improve? And Prabhupada actually says this at the end of this purport. He makes this point. Right? There's no envy in the spiritual world. Right? In the spiritual world, we don't become envious of each other. Why? Because when we see another devotee doing better than us, down here we may become envious, and then we think, oh, they're not so good anyway. You know, and you know, they did like that, but actually I could do better, or like that. No. In the spiritual world, if someone surpasses us, which happens every day, then we think, oh, I wish I could be as good as them. And then you come to that devotee and say, please teach me how I can also serve Krishna that well. Right? That's the spiritual atmosphere. That's the attitude in the spiritual world. Right? Whereas down here, we see if someone does better than us, we think, oh, I'm not good enough. And then we indulge in that instead of using it as an impetus to improve. And that's the problem these days. People are getting too much into themselves. Just like on the weekend, we had this festival at the farm. So we hired Hare Krishna Valley, Krishna's what we retreat to. It was like a New Age dance party. So 150 people came. And then they did their dancing and everything. And then they were having their workshops. Nikeshri and myself, we were serving. Thank you for your service on the weekend. Did good service. So, you know, so all Western people coming and dancing, and you know, and then they're having their workshops. But I was listening to many of the workshops. I'd go around, I'd listen a little bit. But it was all about ourself. Oh, you know, it's all about you, and you've got to feel great about yourself, and you're amazing, and you're the universe, and you're you, and you, and you. That's not what we teach. You're going to come to the Hare Krishna temple, and we sit here, oh, it's all about you, and you're wonderful. We don't say like that. Krishna is the center. Even Prabhupada founded the whole thing, right? Many people don't even know who Prabhupada is. Not like Bhagwan Rajneesh, Sai Baba. No, seriously, if you look at the other gurus, right, it's all about them, right? Bhagwan Rajneesh, it was about him, right? Sai Baba, it was about him. They weren't saying, oh, Krishna, 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 right? Prabhupada, he came out at the same time. He was also a world leader, a world guru. People hardly even know about him. Because he's always putting Krishna in the center. Oh, Krishna. Krishna is the most important one. Krishna, serve Krishna. He didn't say, serve me, serve me, serve me. Prabhupada didn't say. I mean, Rajneesh had 100 plus Rolls Royces. 100 Rolls, what is that about? I mean, what's the point? 100 Rolls Royces. I mean, if you're actually teaching renunciation and teaching, it doesn't even make sense. What's the point? What is the point? Even one of our gurus a few years ago, back in the 80s, when in Europe, one of our gurus, his disciples, they did a marathon. They went out and they sold many books and things, made a lot of money. And they brought him a Porsche. one of our gurus. Back in the 80s. So they brought him a Porsche because he was in Europe and he'd travel country to country and they have Autobahn.
Yeah.
So he got a Porsche. So he'd just get in the Porsche, like, you know, 5 minutes you'd be in Munich. Just get away. You can go to him. I was there in Germany. You know, and you're there, you're doing about 110, 120 on the, and next thing this car just goes. See, so like, it shocked me. It must be like 200 kilometers an hour, just like, whoa, it just went past. I'm like, whoa. You know, it's like, it's a little scary. The Germans are scary. They actually are. I got out of the airport. Like, I'm a very self-confident, very assured person. That's my nature. But when I got off the plane in Germany, I felt intimidated. Just like the atmosphere of the place. Just like, it's real. I mean, I could see how they almost took over the world. You know, back in World War II. I mean, they almost did it. They're on the verge of like taking over. You know, and I could see why. You know, they have that like. So anyway, get back to the story. So they brought a Porsche for him, and they gave it to him. And then he said, thank you very much. The week later, he sold it, and he used all the money to print books. Because he said, I don't need a Porsche. He accepted the sentiment. You know, disciples have that sentiment. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I want to give you a Porsche. Just like in Melbourne, they picked Prabhupada up at the airport in a Rolls Royce. Right? We didn't own it, but we hired it to pick up. Yeah, the sentiment was to get the Guru in the Rolls Royce. So then the reporters, they came to Melbourne Airport and they said to Prabhupada, your disciples are just about to drive you back to your temple in a Rolls Royce. But you're teaching renunciation. And they're picking up. And he said, no, because for the disciple, they see the Guru as the representative of God. So their sentiment is to give the best thing to the Guru. And then Prabhupada said, I say, actually, it's not enough. Prabhupada said, they should be picking me up in a chariot made of gold and diamonds. Because I'm God's representative. And the reporters were like, oh. Yeah, gold and diamonds. So that's the sentiment. But for us, we don't need anything. As a guru in ISKCON, then you'll accept a certain amount of, you know, reciprocation from the disciples. That's the process. But the guru himself is not attached to it. A real guru. Not like, you know, Rajneesh had like 100 Rolls Royces. What for? What was the point? That's cheating. Cheaters and the cheated. Do you want a real guru or do you want a bogus guru? Do you want the Rolls Royce guru? Or the guru who pulls out the necklace from under the statue? Yeah, just like Sai Baba, they got him on camera because the camera is kind of low. Yeah, he would always pull things out. So he had a statue and then the camera shows he had his hand under the statue, pulls out from under the statue the gold necklace, and then he goes, and all these, ah. Yeah, because at different angles, then it would look like he actually just manifested. And in the beginning, he probably could. He probably did have that shakti. You can actually get, you do tapasya, you can actually develop the shakti or the potency to actually manifest things. It's a siddhi. You can actually develop it. He probably did have it in the beginning. But because he became contaminated, then he lost his shakti and then he, you know, was doing all bogus things. So you have to make a point. So here the Bhagavatam is telling us clearly. There is sambandha. Bhagavatam is very clear. And that's why we have to study Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada emphasized it is very clear. Because a lot of Hindu people, Indian people, they get everything very confused. The problem in the West is karma. Karma means material activity, sense gratification. That's the problem with the Western world. Everyone's just so absorbed in sense gratification, it's hard to bring them towards Krishna, a real spiritual path. In India, the problem is jnana. Jnana means contamination of philosophies. There's so many strange philosophies, it's hard to get into people to give them the right philosophy. And now the West and the East are merging. You go to India now, it's sense gratification as well. Right, now they're just so absorbed, they're following the West. And then you come here and now it's all bogus philosophies because all the philosophies have come here. Now, Prabhupada actually said one time, he said, I am disheartened. You know, because he was trying to spread a pure message of Krishna consciousness. And there's so much contaminated competition now, it's very hard to spread. But even amongst all that, we're succeeding. People are coming, people are joining, more people are becoming Hare Krishna. They're becoming understanding the actual goal of life, the relationship, the process, and the goal, all these things. So we cannot contaminate these things. We cannot adulterate it. We cannot obscure these things. But we have to find newer and newer ways. Prabhupada said you have to rack your brain to find newer ways to spread Krishna consciousness. We always have to think. David Ridaswami always inspires me. He's always thinking new ways, new ways, new ways, new ways to bring people to Krishna. So rack your brain.
That's your service for today. Your service today is to rack your brain. How can we bring more people to Krishna? That's the only point of this whole thing. When Prabhupada left the world, he said, at least maintain what I have done, what I've given. Right? And Prabhupada would be very happy because we haven't maintained what he did, we've expanded it all over the world. But there's a lot more work to do. Prabhupada said we have to perform Herculean tasks. We have to become like Hercules. You know Hercules? Hercules is a powerful, powerful warrior. Prabhupada actually said one time, he said, we want Arjuna or no one. Prabhupada said that. He wanted all the devotees to be like Arjuna. You know what that means? That's like very, very powerful. You know, but then everyone's like, oh, I've got a sore knee. Oh, I can't lift two buckets anymore. Imagine Arjuna. Oh, I can't lift two buckets anymore. No, Arjuna was powerful. You have to keep yourself strong, physically, mentally, spiritually strong, so that you can help others become Krishna conscious. Okay, we'll stop there. Any questions or comments on what we discussed? Yes, sir.
Sometimes, how can we deal with envy that comes up in our mind?
Envy? Envy towards other devotees?
Yeah.
Mataji, you shouldn't actually come down. You shouldn't actually be up there. That's the altar.
Sorry.
Yeah, you stand down here, just pass through. Yeah. What was the question?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Envious of other devotees. Yeah. How do you stop yourself becoming envious? There's two very good ways to deal with envy. One is that you compare yourself to great devotees. Because envy means pride. Right? So it means you're thinking, you know, if you're envious, it means you think you're something significant. So if you want to put yourself into your actual position, then compare yourself to great devotees. So read the Prabhupada Lilamrita. Read the Bhagavatam. Read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, when you're dealing with real devotees, then, you know, it should... It takes time, but it can bring you down to where we're actually at. Yeah, it does. It takes time. You know, because you've got to understand, we're just like, you know, we're devotees, but we're not like significant. You know, not when you compare yourself to Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj and, you know, these people. And, you know, so that's one way to deal with envy. You know, associate with the advanced devotees, and then that'll bring you back to a bit of normality and overcome envy. Another way to overcome envy is to do menial service to devotees. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, said all of us should do 5 menial services to devotees every day. So 5 menial services. So what are menial services we can do? So prasadam. Clean the toilets, yeah. You need 3 more.
Doing the laundry,
yeah. 2 more. When I was living in the ashram, when I was a brahmachari, I lived in the ashram here for 8 years, then I meditate on that instruction. So from 4:30 in the morning till 8:30, I would do 5 menial services for the devotees. So I would serve the charitamrita to the devotees or take the lamp around. Or when everyone is bowing down, I get the mats and put the mats down like that. And by, you know, by breakfast time, I've done my 5. And then I would sleep the rest of the day. No, actually, I woke up for lunch. No, but you should do 5. 5 means minimum. The reason Bhakti Santasaraswati Thakur says 5 because, you know, if you're doing 5, that's good. If you do 5, then you'll probably do 12 or 15 or 100 or 108, whatever it is. But they're 2 ways to deal with envy. Is that okay?
Okay.
Any other question? Yes, sir.
How can we get payment?
I just gave a whole class about that. Whole class I just gave. How do you get prema? You get prema by serving. You do service. Yeah, and then prema means love. It means the more service you do, quantitatively and qualitatively. The Bhagavatam says, Ahoituki apratihata. Apratihata means lots of service. Ahoituki means
In the heart, you're just doing it for Krishna's pleasure. In other words, to do it for Krishna's pleasure means when there's no one around, you still do service. I'm not just doing service when everyone's watching me. But when there's no one around, I keep doing the service. Even if there's no one there, I will do it. So both. Is it okay? Good boy. Any other? Yeah. Yeah, it just takes practice, that's all. It's just practice. Because low self-esteem for a devotee, it should not become self-indulgent. Like I said, it's like a healthy being critical of oneself in a healthy way. There's an unhealthy way and there's a healthy way. It means that we understand I am fallen. I have material desires, so I'm not a great devotee. And there's one saying: don't become a great devotee, become a good devotee. Now, Burujan Prabhu said that to me one time. He said, don't become a great devotee, just become a good devotee. So that means, you know, okay, I can try to be a good devotee. You know, I have these defects, I know what they are, I'm working on them, but I'm trying to be a good devotee. When you're trying to be a great devotee, then it becomes, you know, false. Oh, I am so amazing, and then that. So, you know, don't become self-indulgent. There's no instruction in the scriptures that you have to sit around all day meditating on how bad you are. You know, I mean, I get up in the morning, right, and I know my defects, and I try to work on them, but I really haven't got time to just sit there and think about that all day, because there's so much service that needs to be done, that we just concentrate on doing the service. That's what we can, and we try to do it for Krishna in a pleasing way. And if we make mistakes along the way, then we try to improve. So try to improve each day. That's all. TK? Any other question? Rasa?
I just wanted to elaborate on what his question was.
Do it quickly, though.
Actually, that's my problem. Yeah. So low self-esteem arises from false ego, and why that happens, because we want to be something what we are not. So we want to be, for example, Yadacharatishvatas. You know, like it says, if we see something which is great, everyone admires this person, and we want to get that admiration or gain or whatever it is. And then we try to imitate that, we try to act in that way to get what we wanted for us. So we are in the center. We are in the center, and we want to gain something, whether it's recognition, anything. Usually it's recognition because we want to be recognized, we want many things. So when we don't get this, we get low self-esteem. I'm not valuable, I'm bad because I did not achieve what I wanted, and what I think is valuable. We have these false values we want to achieve. So when we don't achieve them, we have low self-esteem. Or if we achieve them, we make offenses thinking everyone else is lower than us. It's similar to like a Daksha example. You know, he was the mode of goodness, and then he couldn't recognize the transcendental position of Shiva, and he was criticizing uncleanliness and everything. So it's either low self-esteem or pride and offend the devotees. Everything comes from envy. Whether the self-realized person doesn't have low self-esteem, but he has humility, that's a big difference. He sees things as they are, and envy comes first from envy to Krishna. Why he has to be center of everything? I want to be center. So the first thing is to pray. The second thing for me, what I'm trying to do, is every time I'm thinking, because we should stop identifying with the mind and the body. We should stop trying to pursue our images we want to be. So it's very important what we think. No one can do that for us. It's very important what we think and how to think, and we need, our soul needs to observe our way of thinking. We can control our mind, and we can, by observing, we, okay, what I'm thinking, and why I'm thinking now, why I'm pursuing this, why I'm doing this, what I'm doing. And but they said, oh, I'm really angry because this lady did this. You know, you feel it and you say, I'm happy that she did it. And it's so wonderful, it's so inspiring. So we can change our way of thinking. If we notice our trait of thinking is not right, we need to get into this observing state, what we are thinking, and change it. Every day we have to change it. Every day.
Okay.
Every day we can.
Good. Thank you. Any other question or comment? Yeah. Yeah, because you're a grihastha, so you've got kids. That was your choice. So now you have to make your grihastha ashram your service. You make your children into devotees, so that's devotional service. So all day you're doing devotional service. Yeah, I know it's frustrating, but that's grihastha life. That's grihastha life. You chose it. You chose to have kids. So now that you've chosen, you have to take the responsibility. That's your service. And that frustration means that, I remember my Guru Maharaj gave a lecture many years ago. He said that by the end of Grihastha Ashram, you will be a renunciate. Because that's how you'll feel. You'll feel, oh great, now they're married. Now I can just do service all the time. Like that. So if you look at like the journey of the soul over millions of lifetimes, it's just like, you know, you're talking about 20 years or something like that. So it will make you frustrated and then you'll become more enthusiastic. Does it make sense? Your choice, you have to live with it now. Do it with enthusiasm. That's the point. And they'll be, you know, it's like now they're what, how old are they?
Four.
And today's their birthday? Okay, today's their birthday. Everyone give them blessings. The two twins. Happy birthday. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so they're 4 years old. So they'll be going to school in 2 years, and as soon as they go to school, you'll have so much more time. Unless you choose to homeschool, and then it's going to be a whole other thing. How old is she?
She's 7.
Homeschool?
No, she's 8.
How come you're not in school? It's holidays, or?
Huh?
It's holidays, yeah? They're not at school today?
Oh,
a birthday, so they're having. Okay. It's Vyasa Puja today. Yeah, like that. So that's what it means. Right? It means that you are going through that. But, you know, in a couple of years, when they go to school, you'll have so much extra time. So much extra time. So you have to do some little bit of austerity for a couple of years, but you see it as service. TK? Okay. Any other points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.